I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here we are again. Another day, another week.
Another week, another podcast.
Another week in lockdown. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're this listening is to
Sexy
unique
podcast.
Tough Sicilian bitches.
We're back. We're back in Jersey.
Week 8? Week 7? Week 8?
Week 9.
It's been 70 plus. Oh my God.
Of season 3.
No, I'm saying of
COVID. Corn. Of quarantine.
Corn.
Quarantine. I don't know. I've lost count and have lost the plot to some extent.
I have too. I'm an unreliable narrator at this point.
Yeah, I can't say I love it right now.
How are you on an emotional barometer?
My emotional barometer, like, goes up and down.
Is the ticker going?
I'm, like, okay today, but definitely I've really had some, like, what is the point days recently.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I'm developing a pattern of staying up super late and then sleeping until noon and then waking up and being like, I love waking up at noon. I like it too much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It feels a little regressive.
I mean, I understand. I can't sleep in. Like, I know that sounds annoying, but like, it's hard for me to sleep in because I get guilt and I want to sleep. Like, there are days where I want to just go to like 10, and I have before, but it's rare. But I can't. I always wake up like too early. I'm not being like, it's really hard. I wake up really on time, but it's not like I'm getting up.
Wake up at 6 a.m. and meditate. It's like I have.
I can't help it.
My body just like tells me.
But I'm not waking up to do anything productive. I'm waking up to like look at my phone and like type in
out.
Like coronavirus Los Angeles death.
It's like 1800.
I'm not like waking up to be like
going out for a run and making toast and like egg white.
I'm like, I want to sleep like an hour extra every day.
I definitely choose to sleep in. Like, it's a choice that I'm making because my body will wake me up at like a reasonable hour. Like, normally, like, naturally, my body is like 8 a.m. It doesn't matter like when I've gone to sleep. It's like, what do you think, Lara? Like, do you want to really get up and like seize the day? And then I'm like, no, bitch. And then I go back to sleep and sleep until like noon. And then I'm like, hell yeah. And that my like, I've been getting like a really sick pleasure of like experiencing just like truly only 5 hours until it's like what I consider to be nighttime, which is 5 p.m. And then yeah. I'm like, it's like I'm like, oh, if we can just get through these like 5 hours, then it'll be 5 p.m. And then it's like, we'll be night soon. And then I'm like, oh, we made it another day yeah. down. And like, I'm like, okay, this is no way to live. But now it feels like, it is a way to live.
Yeah, I like count down the hours till 5 p.m. when I eat dinner.
I know. I'm just like, oh, if we can just make it to the evening and the less hours I have to be like awake during the day, the better. And then it's like, wow, a doable day, a 5 hour. But I look forward to Tuesdays because, as I said in the past, that's when I wake up early and I go to Starbucks and then I know that I'm going to get to LOL with you and it feels good.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a highlight for sure of the week. It's, you know, I do feel like personally I've been in a spiritual 4 p.m. for like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
The mornings feel like 4 p.m. Nighttime feels like 4 p.m. When I go to sleep, it feels like 3 a.m., but it's only like 11 or 12 a.m.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard. I mean, I'm last week I went for a walk every day. Saturday I moved weird and like hurt my back throughout my back,
oof,
which I hate. So like the past few days I've been like, it's better today, but I was going to a chiropractor consistently because I had a spine to realign my spine.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped going because I couldn't afford it anymore. But I'm willing to risk COVID right now to go get cracked because they're taking appointments crack. And I need that crack. And I'll fucking wear a mask. I trust the guys. They're all like these nice gay men who crack yeah. backs, and I'm. You know what? I don't, if I'm being a hypocrite because I've been like championing social distancing, like I don't fucking care. I'm so, I, like, we well, need, we're at a point now
getting,
where it's
like any sort of like therapeutic.
No, that's essential.
Or, like surgery. Like I have to get a gum graft on fucking June 5th that was supposed to happen.
A retainer?
No, like where they cut off part of your gums and like put it on another part that's like receding.
Oh my God, I have receding. I feel you because I have receding gums. Someone on Twitter, last week, I posted a video, like one of my stupid videos, and someone wrote like, "Your gums have really receded."
That is like, fucking rude.
I know. I was like,
"Do not
only
gum
a gay-
shame me."
And I was like, "Only a fucking gay bitch, some gay guy."
Of course it was. Who probably literally has the most receded gums of all time.
And he probably like, I probably like know him in real life. I think it was like a troll account that someone like just uses to like be mean to people because he was saying similar things to other. So I was like, this is definitely someone like I probably know.
Oh my God, what a life.
But that, I didn't know that they do that.
Yeah, they do. Thankfully, it's just on one tooth, but it's like they harvest skin from the top of your mouth and then like cut it out and then put it over. They like attach it to the gum and then it has to like glob on and grow. It's annoying. Teeth are insane. Like people always tell you, like, take care of your teeth, take care of your teeth. Like you're going to need, like, you don't want to mess it up. And I truly have literally been like, keep your teeth theories to yourself to my entire life. And then now in your 30s is a great / horrible time to find out that everyone's teeth theories were true. The dentist weren't lying.
No,
orthodontist never lied to me. He wasn't trying to hurt me. He was just trying to help me.
I don't have dental insurance right now, and I'm petrified of how many cavities I probably have from all the candy I've been eating in quarantine, but I want my dentist to be proud because he's really nice and really hot and just a really good dentist, and he's awesome. And every time I've been to him, I've been like, please, like, let my teeth shine. But it's hard. Teeth are so, I mean, I have a retainer. I wear it every night.
You're smart. I had braces for over 2 years, had like so much orthodontic work done, and literally was every time I like saw my orthodontist, I was like, fuck off. And like, I didn't believe like a word he told me. I was like, he's out to get me.
You were like a flat earther.
Yeah.
You were like a COVID truther.
I COVID truthed this orthodontist till the day he passed away, essentially. And like, but he didn't start out. We had a rocky beginning because I sucked my thumb until I was like 9 years old. And like, I was first taken to the orthodontist when I was like 8 or 7. And he was like, when are you going to stop? Like, he made a really big deal out of me sucking my thumb, and it was like an issue, and we had to like slowly train me to stop doing it. But that I was like, why are you taking away like the one thing I love in this world? Like, why would you want to do that to me?
Yeah.
I don't have much. All I have is this thumb and my raglets, and they go together great, and they give me great sleep. And I like don't get why you're trying to hurt me.
Orthodontists are very aggro. Mm-hmm. And for good reason. Like, I had braces for 6 years.
Oh.
Because my teeth were fucked. Wow. And I had them on from 4th to 7th grade, got them taken off, and then got them back on a few months later.
No, for another back 3 years. A troll.
But the first time I had them, I wasn't really, I mean, I was young, but like, I remember going to the ortho once, and it was like a group of these, it was like the lead orthodontist and his two sons. So they were like a family practice. And they were really great, but one of them was super intense. He like yelled at me one time because I wasn't doing something right. And it was really bad. My mom requested that I only go to only two of them except him. Mm-hmm. And then when I got him back on, I was like, I have to take this seriously. And I had headgear I had a whole headpiece that wrapped all the way up to like the back of my head. It wasn't like just like the little band.
Yeah.
And it came down like that. It looked like a muzzle. And I wore it at night. And I wore it every single night. I was like really, and then I'm just like paranoid about fucking my teeth up again.
Oh yeah. I mean, the second, like, basically I started refusing. I was supposed to wear like rubber bands around like certain
bands.
And I was just like, fuck you. Like, I'm not doing this. And then finally he was like, well, it seems like you're not going to do anything I tell you. So I guess we'll take the braces off and just like wear your retainer, and your bite won't be perfect, but like, I'm done with you. And so then he gave me my retainer, and I was like, if you think I'm wearing this, you can literally fist yourself. And then never wore it. And now my teeth are fucked up again. So joke's on me. And then he passed away.
Well, RIP to him.
RIP to him. He was a good orthodontist. He cared a lot. I didn't listen to him, and I should have listened to him.
I loved my orthodontist. I loved all these women that were the hygienists.
Yeah, they were nice.
They were awesome. They were like all like true Jersey girls.
Yeah.
It was great. I was at my orthodontist on 9/11.
Oh my god.
Place of 9/11.
A total place of 9/11.
I remember this kid that
seems like an organic place to be. Did you go after 9/11 had happened or before?
After. My parents came and got me together, which was rare, and they took me to my ortho appointment, and then they were like, we want you to stay home. And I was like, no, I'm going back to school because I want to be where the people are.
Yeah.
So they dropped me back off at school. But at the ortho, I remember this kid that I grew up with who lived on my street growing up. He was there too, and I remember sitting in the chair, and he went over to the radio and like kneeled down and like turned the radio on, and like the president was making some statement, and he was just like listening, and I was like, this is weird. So dramatic.
God, you had a pretty normal day for like a 9/11 journey.
Well, yeah, I think my parents were just like, they wanted me to, we can't talk about 9/11 again. I'm sorry.
You brought it to a place of 9/11. You took us here.
I took us here, and now I will lead us astray. I will lead us back. I led us into the desert. Now I lead us back out of the desert.
Get us out. I just went full mentally to my like 9/11 memories.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just smoked a ton of weed on 9/11. I like left school afterwards and everyone in Oklahoma City was freaking the fuck out and there were lines at the gas station because like I think everyone was re-traumatized from like the federal building bombing. And then I was just like, let's smoke blunts, and then smoked a ton of weed and was like, everything's fucking crazy, man.
And that was our 9/11 story. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. Anyways, what else is going on that's un 9/11 related? I think this is truly, we get to a place of 9/11 because COVID is so like, it's a real 9/11 throwback moment.
It is. Yeah. I mean,
it's a wild.
It's a wild, wild journey. Yeah. I'm.
I'm looking at my feet right now, and I think I have a Birkenstock tan.
Sure.
Wow.
That's how you know you're living life.
Heady.
That's how you know you're living life with your Birkenstock tan on your feet. What happened?
Can you, Carrie, get to a place of not 9/11?
Okay, yeah, I'm out of it.
This is a 9/11 challenge. I challenge you.
Okay, now I'm fully out of it. I just like fell through another rabbit hole. And now I'm out of it. I'm here.
What's
oh my God.
What's going on? What's the farthest you can get from 9/11? Go. This is the 9/11 challenge. Okay. Go. Wait, I actually have a good I have a good sports segue, which is
For me, that's also kind of 9/11, but we'll keep going.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the most 9/11 of all sports, which is football, but also we'll talk about the least 9/11 of all sports, which is basketball. Yeah. And I'm watching now The Last Dance because I kept seeing it. And honestly, I love Michael Jordan. And if I'm going to get into a place of care about sports, right, basketball is like the one thing that I could potentially care about.
What's it about?
It's about like the final, I think the final season of the Chicago Bulls, like them trying to win their sixth championship in a row.
Sorry,
I think that's what it's about. I've seriously watched like three episodes. I'm trying to be sporty. Yeah, but I like it. And I like Michael Jordan a lot.
I'm happy for you. I mean, I like Michael Jordan. Yeah. Like,
and Dennis Rodman, who's truly like he's a groundbreaking guy. And then I'm learning a lot about Scottie Pippen. And I'm like, okay, like I feel like I'm learning
Larsa
things.
Pippen's husband?
Yeah. And then it's nice to like see every sports person that comes on the screen. I'm like, oh my God, there's like Lala Anthony's husband. I'm like, oh, Gabrielle Union's husband. They have like people that will comment in the documentary. Oh. So then I'm just like, oh, like I know all the wives. And then it's nice to see like the man behind the woman.
Love that for you. I just don't like I was an athlete in college. Like growing up, I was an athlete. I was a swimmer. I can get competitive. Like I was a very like swimming was my life. Like I'm not into sports, but like I'm also deeply not into sports.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just don't give a shit. And I want to sometimes. Like I liked when Philly was when the Eagles were at the Super Bowl. Because I'm from, but like I can get behind like historical moments or like you know, this has lots of meaning, this holds meaning, you know what I mean? But like
I mean I think Michael Jordan holds a lot of meaning. because he's just such an amazing player. And then when you watch him play, you're just like, wow, like this person like truly had like cultivated like magical gifts. Like I think that everyone has a magical gift in life.
Yeah.
And
his was basketball.
His was basketball. And it's like watching someone tap into that at like and recognize that and then see it through is very inspiring.
So no, that's cool. For sure.
But I also don't know. I'm like, okay, like what Michael Jordan. if I got into basketball, like how do I like choose a team? I guess my team would be Oklahoma City Thunder.
What if you became a basketball coach?
If I do?
Yeah.
I'd be like good at it, I think. I'd be a good coach.
What was that Whoopi Goldberg movie where she played like a basketball coach? I went to see it with my aunt.
I know what you're talking about.
Eddie.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Has an 18% of Rotten Tomatoes.
I miss Whoopi's like dominant box office domination of the 90s.
Ew, Donald Trump was in it. Bang. of course Michael Jordan. Like, look, I pretended to be into sports sometimes when I was a kid, and like he was an easy like, oh, he's my favorite athlete, but he was actually great. And I actually legitimately love the movie Space Jam. And
here's also the deal. Ew. I just looked down at my shirt and where I had picked Tony up, he sharted on me. So I have dog shit literally on my shirt right now.
A day in the life of a parent. So
that's also the deal. But I wish that basketball players' shorts were still short. And like, I wish that like baseball players' pants were still tight. Like, I don't like how uniforms have become really baggy. And I also wish that every closeted person in like professional sports would just come out of the closet, because if I really truly feel like if I could know about all the gay men who are playing basketball or football or baseball, I would care way more about sports. And you know that like there are tons of gays playing professional sports. It's not like you're straight just because you play, you're a professional athlete. That's not like how it works. So I'm like,
haven't you ever?
I beg of you, come out of the closet.
Are you talking about just from like a purely like, it'll be compelling and emotional?
Yeah, for me. I'm like, think about me and my lack of interest in what you do, and then make me care by coming out of the closet so that I can have something or someone to root for.
Like, you want to be in a place of woo!
Yes, I want to be like, woo! And I want, like, I want it to just be, like, LGBTQIA, etc., friendly space. And, like, let's just all be real. Yeah, I'm like, let's just, like, be bi and gay or asexual or pan or whatever. Just, like, queer.
Yeah.
The time is nigh. Like, might as well just do it now. It's COVID. Like, no one cares. They have way bigger fish to fry.
Haven't you ever seen Valentine's Day?
No.
Remember at the end when Eric Dane is a football player who's comes out and at the end, the twist is that he was with Bradley Cooper.
Really?
Yeah, the whole time Bradley... Sorry to spoilers.
Oh my God, this is a huge spoiler. Now I would actually watch Valentine's Day. See, this is what I'm saying. If you make people... If you just like put gay at the forefront... Make me care by just like being gay, like openly. I didn't even realize that was a twist. Like, if I had known that, I would have totally watched Valentine's Day. Now I know what I'm watching tonight.
Well, so Julia Roberts, her plot line is she's like returning from Iraq or Afghanistan. She's on a plane in her army fatigues. Believable.
Hugely believable, Julia Roberts in on the way back from Afghanistan.
And she's sitting next to Bradley Cooper, and you kind of think they're hitting it off and they're like flirting and they're having this thing. And then at the end, Eric Dane, she's like, I hope you find, I don't know. And then at the end, Eric Dane, after he's like this big quarterback, Queen Latifah is his, by the way, Queen Latifah playing his PR person, pressuring him to stay in the closet is like a lull for me. She doesn't pressure, but she's like his PR. Anyway, it was very ironic. But at the end, he's like, the last moment you see him, like, he lives in Malibu and he's like on his like Malibu deck and like a chair, like with a glass of wine next to him, nodding off. And then
Bradley lives in Malibu.
Eric Dane does. And all of a sudden you see like Eric, like a someone flickering a little flower on his forehead. And Eric Dane looks up and it's Bradley. And he like sits down. it's like so fucked up. And he looks at Eric Dane and Eric Dane goes,
people being like, goes, what do the gays do? And then they're like,
they rub flowers on our
they rub flowers flirtingly.
Yeah. And he goes, Eric Dane goes, did you see what I did? And Bradley's like, yeah. And that's it. Like they don't kiss.
They don't say what you did.
He like came out on he did a press conference where he's like, I'm going to continue playing football, but as an out gay man.
Oh, okay.
And Bradley is his partner. Their life has been a secret. And then Bradley, I just love that's what he does. That's how I wake Simon up every morning with a flower.
Yeah, it's just like rubbing it on his face.
That's what every gay
did.
That's how every gay
greets each other. Romantically, with a singular flower that they tickle someone's face, they tickle their partner's face with. Fucking groundbreaking.
Did you see what I did? And he goes, yeah.
So is Bradley just a soldier?
No, Bradley is sitting next. He's like,
he's just on a plane.
They're just like seatmates and they strike up a conversation, and Julia Roberts is rushing home to.
Is
LA
in her army fatigues?
Yes, the whole movie. And she has, and at the end, she's rushing home to LA because she has to go back on tour, but she needs to go home and make Valentine's Day to see her son, whose parents are, I believe her parents are fucking Shirley MacLaine and I don't know, and Emma Roberts. It's a Taylor Swift's in it.
Damn.
Jessica Biel is in it, and she plays, her character is like it's like
maybe I need to watch all of these, because like that was such a moment and has been such a moment of these like ensemble cast like trash movies. Like, he's just not that into Valentine's Day, Mother's Day,
and they all center around New Year's Eve.
Just like Bradley Cooper and Julia Roberts like doing
New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve is Sarah Jessica Parker's in New Year's Eve, which is all you need to know. But
Michelle Pfeiffer loves New Year's Eve.
Oh, she loves Sarah Jessica Parker's, instead of, you know, three names, she has, it should be Odd Song Long.
Odd Song Long. Okay. Odd Song Long, the classic New Year's Eve tune.
I know. Be it ever so humble.
That's very Canterbury Tales of her, TBH.
But Jessica Biel plays in Valentine's Day, plays like this overworked single who's has a treadmill in her office, and she's like, at one point is like furiously eating chocolates alone, and then she's like, oh, I'm okay being single, it's all good, and she's like just a workaholic who can't find love because she's a woman who works, you know, and it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you should watch it.
Okay, I'm going to do maybe a film festival for myself.
Yeah.
Of all those movies. Maybe just the holiday movies. We'll see.
I never saw Mother's Day. I love that they're all like off holidays. They're all like the B holidays.
New Year's Eve is a pretty A holiday, I guess. Well, it's not like Christmas Day. Yeah.
It's all the cornball holidays.
It's cornball. It's like greeting card holidays. Because they can't really do, like, it's like if you did Thanksgiving, that would be controversial. Like, some people would like have a lot of hate for Thanksgiving. And if you did Christmas, it's also controversial. So you have to do these, like, literally made up holidays by
corporate holidays
and corporate holidays and greeting card holidays.
But big news, this is actually weird. Speaking of backwards, because I see everything backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joke. That's not a good joke because some people have dyslexia and I don't have dyslexia. So I'm sorry to the people who have dyslexia. Please don't cancel me. They found, NASA discovered evidence of a parallel universe with where time runs backwards.
Fucking wild.
Like, what the fuck more?
I'm ready. Just bring it all on. Rip the Band-Aid off. Tell me everything. Like, let's just get it over with so we can move forward.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Like, that's...
They found evidence suggesting a parallel universe, not necessarily, like, a parallel universe.
Right, but it's still,
it was off the tip of, like, Antarctica or some shit like that.
Yeah, they have, like,
obviously, there's like a million universes. Like, we literally are only experiencing like a three-dimensional life, and there's like so many different dimensions. Like, our brains can only see like up to three.
Right. Well, but it's all been theoretical science. So now, if we have actual data, like Neil deGrasse Tyson can go fuck himself because he's always wanting to. He'll probably have something to say about it.
He'll definitely have something to say.
But it's really, I mean, it's crazy. And I, you know, it just made me.
Do you want to meet Parallel Universe you?
No.
I want to meet Parallel Universe.
Maybe. I would probably fuck him.
Hell yeah. That's incest. That's incest, bro. Is it incest if you fuck yourself? Or is there a name for something? Is it, it's something else.
You would do it, right?
Yeah, I've had a dream where I fucked myself. It was awesome.
I would 100%. I had this conversation.
Parallel me would want to fuck me. If it's backwards, maybe parallel me would not want to fuck me.
They're like, I'm a happily married woman. I'm a happily hetero. I'm happily straight.
I'm dying to meet Parallel Universe Lara. I hope that she lols.
I read that.
Yeah. I would love to have Parallel Universe me on the pod. What if she doesn't even watch Vanderpump Rules?
She probably doesn't.
I know. Fuck.
The good news is there's probably like millions of views that do watch Vanderpump Rule.
Yeah, there's a ton of Parallel Universe me's that are very into Vanderpump.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Did you ever see Another Earth?
Mm-hmm. I love that movie.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make contact with ourselves before we make contact with aliens.
That would be so cool.
But it would also be like...
It would also be like highly annoying, though, if you have like two of a person that you are really not into.
Yeah. But also it would be like deeply... I think our world would like collapse. There would be like a war. Just like
people would freak out. People would not be able to handle it.
No.
I could like easily, breezily handle parallel universe people.
You say that now.
I welcome them. I come in peace. I have no problems.
What if I don't come in peace?
More people to listen and to listen to my content.
Yeah.
And our content.
I hope Parallel Universe Me follows me.
I know. I hope Parallel Universe Me at least listens to my podcast in this universe. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they bought tickets to the tour.
What if our parallel universe people bought tickets to New York meet and greet, and they were going to cross over to our universe to come and say hi at the New York show? If you're listening, parallel universe Lauren Carey, please do that. We would love it.
Yeah, show up. Just
Carey
like
will
crash
freak
the stage
out, but I'll love it. Don't crash the stage, don't heckle, but wait until a respectful moment to make yourselves known. Don't do it before the show. After.
Hey. I go like this.
Your face like melts off.
I would be like the doctor in Indiana Jones who like melts. Mm-hmm. That would be me if I saw me. And then he would be like
the ark, the lost ark.
Yeah. My other self would be like, well, that was pointless.
That didn't go how I planned.
Well, that didn't work out. And then you're like already like
I've linked arms with parallel me.
You're like you're already like going to like you're already going home with each other.
Yeah. I'm like
you're
ready
like, sorry,
to
we've
start
gotta,
a new
we're gonna go fuck.
Yeah, I'm like, we're gonna fuck, get married, and then start a podcast together and just like be together. She's the only person that understands me.
Sorry, we have to go fuck and then record an episode.
Yeah.
Of Babe.
We gotta go pad. I would love to put it out there to all parallel versions of me. If you have a podcast, let's put them all together and form our own podcast network.
Oh my God, that would be like, imagine like Marc Maron or like some big, like interviewing themselves. Like what if all the parallel people came and like the huge podcast, like the first, who gets like the first interview where they interview themselves?
I pray that it's me. Please parallel me if you're listening.
Yeah.
Lara 1 and Lara 2.
Come on.
Let's pod, babe.
Speaking of parallel universes.
It's Christmas time
today's
in Jersey.
Christmas time in Jersey.
Like, will we ever have like a Christmas again? Now I'm like, I don't really get sentimental about like Christmas or Thanksgiving or any of that. But this episode made me like yearn for the holidays. Like I'm feeling like a holiday yearning.
It made me really excited to hopefully be back in New Jersey next year for Christmas. Because it's such a
cold
night.
You know it was cold. So cold that night. It's like that kind of still cold where it's not even snowing. It's like too cold to snow.
Yeah. Yeah. I could feel it. Walking into like a party or dinner, holding like food, walking in with your family.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have Halloween. I don't know if I was thinking about that. Like, oh yeah, like kids. I mean, they almost canceled Halloween, not to go back to 9/11, but they almost canceled Halloween because of anthrax. And then they almost canceled it one year because of the DC sniper. Do you remember when that was happening?
Oh my God, yeah.
So they almost canceled because I lived like only like an hour and a half from DC, 2 hours. Mm-hmm. So they were worried that he was going to like come up to Philly. But
no,
who knows?
He was like a DC guy through and through.
No, he was a DC guy.
He was more of a DC guy, actually.
No, I'm sorry, Carrie. Well, anyway, so it's Christmas time in North Jersey. The Judices are getting ready. They're putting up a giant fake-ass tree, which I love.
The hugest tree of all time where Joe has had to strip down.
He's hot in this moment.
He's truly a meatball in this moment. His tank top is about to fly off of his body. Like, he's busting out of his own, like, wife beater.
His muscle ass is also busting out of his jeans, and he's like,
he's a true
little
ball on top of a ladder.
It's like 5'7" meatball, like, you know,
juicy
packed
Joe
to the brim with like just beef on top of a ladder of like a 14-foot Christmas tree, and all the girls are together, and you hear Melania go, "Here, my handsome daddy."
This is so cute. I died.
Here, my handsome daddy.
He goes, "Thank you, my sweet Melania."
And then Melania sits down next to baby Adriana and then just quietly smacks her in the face.
Slaps her right in the face. I was living. Teresa goes, Gabriella, what does Christmas mean to you? And then Gabriella goes on like a ramble. It's like she's trying to remember her lines to like seem normal about the whole thing. She's like, well, yeah, it's a happy holiday.
Yeah. We get presents and it's just the family together.
Adriana, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, what did I tell you about making that noise? And she just slaps her on the, gives her a little slap. She goes, yeah, there's more than, more that than, there's more of that where that came from.
I'll fucking wind up next time, give you a
I'll fucking wind up next time.
Slap you'll never forget.
Yo, you shut the fuck up
over those ornaments.
Yo, Gabrielle, keep it to a tight 10. 10 seconds, that is. Don't go over 10 with your little stories and your fairy tales. Now you shut the fuck up, too.
You better say what we practiced earlier. Christmas is a happy holiday.
Gia's like, are we going to see Zio, Joe, and Melissa? And Teresa's like, yeah, I think so. Then we cut over to said Zio, Joe, and Melissa. They're putting up, they're getting their house ready. They have a Christmas party, an epic Christmas party coming up. They're putting up a real tree and a fake ass tree, which
I love.
My family puts fake trees on. I love a fake tree.
I like a Joe fake has tree his friend for named, like mess purposes.
Oh, for sure.
Less messy.
Joe's friend named Lewis is over, who's like a lol to me.
Yeah, the men are really like struggling to put the tree up, and then Melissa gets to is like loving playing like the concerned wife who's like, don't do it. Like, why aren't the lights on? Like, really being like, don't put the tree on. And like,
don't put the tree on. Melissa Baby goes, Joey's we're throwing a Christmas on the floor. Baby Joey's wearing bootcut jeans and just like
and like a newsboy cap, and he's on the floor as per usual. Just like literally they just put him on the floor wherever.
I know.
I love that they don't even put him on a blanket or anything. They just throw him on the floor a little away from the action.
Melissa goes, we're throwing a Christmas party for Christmas, obviously, and Jesus' birthday.
Again, obsessed. And that I wrote, this is physical comedy at its finest.
The Melissa at one point,
and Joe tree.
And at one point, the parents are screaming. All the adults are screaming about the trees, and they cut to Antonia and Gino on the couch. And Antonia is clutching Gino.
They're clutching each other.
That was like me and my sister. Like, she's protecting him from, like, and then baby Joey's just flopping around on the floor.
Yeah.
And then we cut back to the Judices, and it's just tree, and they're having a glass of wine with Joe.
But he's still in his tank top. Woof.
She goes, I mean, Joe, when's this all going to stop? I was like, honey,
till
you're behind bars.
Till you're behind bars, you're going to get out of jail, then he's going to go to jail, then get out of jail, then he's going to get deported, and you're going to try and get him back, and it's not going to work, and it's still ongoing, and it's 2020, and then COVID will happen, so it'll never stop.
It'll never stop. She goes, every week they say something. Now I know how Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie feel. I went, okay.
On the tabloids. Then she reveals that Joe went to jail for 10 days for some sort of traffic-related violation. Was this for his drunk driving accident?
I think so.
But she doesn't connect it to that. Anyways, it's lots of lies. She told their daughters that he just went on a fishing trip.
I wrote that as so mafia.
So mafia. A fishing trip with, like, a man that's never once fished in his life.
Yeah. That's what, like, he's going away.
That's what Danny Provenzano? I think that's what they told his kids, too, when he went to jail. They love, like, a lying to the kids about jail moment.
Yeah. That's like, it's, I think it's like a tradition.
Everyone's going to find out.
I think it's like a tradition.
In, like,
it's like what you do.
What you mafia do in culture. Mafia families. Yeah, I'd be like, your dad's going to jail. He drunk drove
Judice?
Into the tree.
Judice then starts trying to brainwash Teresa against her family.
Yeah, and she still hates Joey Gorga.
He still hates her. You see the tears in Teresa's eyes because he's, and you realize that Joey Judice is probably most of the reason why they have issues.
Yeah, he's a bully and he just like talks shit and won't get on board and is like very resistant to like the whole thing. You see him just kind of like fighting the instinct to just make things right this whole time.
He refers to Richie Wakili as chicken ass. Teresa, it made me
Rich
hurt
so much. And I'm like, Rich is actually like later on, we'll have a moment with him and Kathy where I was like, he's a great husband.
That's why he hates her.
Yeah.
It and made they me love feel to for like Teresa. Shit talk.
Yeah. I mean, Teresa still is like in a place of Momo pretty much most of the time now, but
right,
she does her best given the circumstances.
It was sad.
And then meanwhile, at Joe and Melissa's house of hump, they're nervous about Joe being at their Christmas party because of the brawl that happened at the christening.
I mean, imagine like being the people that everyone's afraid to invite.
Yeah, I mean, they don't do themselves any favor by like just trying to normalize.
No.
Like, assimilate. And then Melissa's sister, Lisa, claims that Joe's mother, Philomena, punched her in the face.
At the brawl?
During the brawl, Philomena just like reared back and clocked Lisa in the face, according to Lisa.
I 100% believe it.
Oh,
Philomena.
Definitely. I wrote in my notes, I just wrote, yes, with a bunch of exclamation points. Philomena looks like the kind of woman that would just sock you right in the jaw.
Yeah, she's terrifying. I love Philomena.
Philomena, she punched you right in the face.
Philomena punched me right in the face.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
We cut to the Lorita house. Ashley walks into Jacqueline's room and gives her a birthday gift. And I wrote,
Jacqueline to the Ashleys.
Yeah. I wrote, Ashley deserves Cole for Christmas.
When Jacqueline walked into her room, I literally thought that they were in a hotel. Like, their house is like so cavernous and large.
I know.
And the room looked like a hotel room. I was like, what hotel are they in? And then it was just their house.
Yeah.
She gives Ashley a I guess Ashley's birthday present was technically her car, but then Jack gives her a hideous necklace from her psychic
Tia. It's like a chunky crucifix, like rosary necklace to ward off bad energy.
Yeah, I was like, honey, it's gonna take a boulder.
It felt like kind of a troll.
It was a troll. There's no way that Ashley would wear that. She was like, and you might. Jacqueline's like, and I wanted to give it to you tonight because you might want to use it. And like, then Ashley pulls out this heinous necklace that she's never going to wear, that obviously she has no interest in.
Yeah.
And is like, cool, thanks.
I wrote, she gave it to ward off a werewolf. Jacqueline, then, the blood moon is coming.
The blood moon is coming.
You might remember the blood moon.
You sound just like her.
You might want it for the blood room.
You might want it for the blood room. The blood room.
And then
room.
Jacqueline, blood moon. Jacqueline's like, we tried to get your dad to come out from Texas to surprise you, but it didn't work out. And then Ashley's like, she's like, wow, I almost wish you didn't tell me that because that was really sad. And I wrote, God, fuck off, Ashley. Jacqueline can't do anything right. Everything.
I was team Ashley in this interaction. I think Jacqueline is now just like in a total mom troll zone, and she does everything she does is to like fuck with Ashley. And really? I'm team Ashley now because like Jacqueline shouldn't have told her that. Like, what is the point of telling her that?
I feel like.
Like, maybe let the dad...
If I'm not mistaken, I feel like he does end up coming, and it's part of the surprise.
Oh, really?
Like, I think if I can't... I feel like he comes and surprises her, and not to spoil, but I feel like he does... I think it's, like, part of the ruse. So I think there's a reason why she tells her. But I get what you're saying, but I also just think, like, Ashley, just everything Jacqueline does, she can't do anything right. Like... Ashley,
yeah, oh God, really...
it was just you didn't tell me that.
But I feel for her because she is like, she like basically has no family to identify with because like dad lives in Texas. He has a new family. Her mom lives in Jersey. She has a new family. And then Ashley's just like Ashley. So all she really has going for her is a car. And that is a sad way to live.
It is sad. And it was sad. Later we'll talk about it, but at her birthday dinner, I thought you really see that, especially the Manzo kids, everyone like shits on her. And I think when you're sort of the scapegoat or like the punching bag of the family and like you fuck up enough where everyone like trolls you for it, you kind of just get used to it. And it's like, it's hard to remove yourself from that title or that role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's sort of like, oh, Ashley. And it's like she can't really do anything right.
Yeah.
Because it made me feel for her. Because I also think the Manzo kids are so annoying and like have such a superior, like holier than thou thing going.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll talk about it. But
we'll get there.
But yeah, so she.
Her biological dad is hot, though.
Oh, so hot.
I was like, yes, daddy. Get on the show already. Come to Jersey.
He comes on.
Love it.
You see him. Jacqueline, but yeah, she's like, Ashley's like, it reminds me of him not coming or him not showing up reminds me of when I was a kid and like he would flake on me or it was just me and my mom. And so it's,
yeah, she has serious daddy issues and can't get mad at her dad. So all the anger gets displaced and put onto Jacqueline.
Jacqueline has permaguilt.
But then also is like carries, I think, a lot of anger herself and
at Ashley.
And then it comes out in these like really passive aggressive ways.
I almost feel like Ashley to her represents
a time of struggle that she's like doesn't want to connect to.
Yeah.
Like pre-Chris Larita.
Yeah. And I think she's, yeah, it's like she gets flashes of her like shitty life in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. I like feel and see the like horrible apartment they like lived in.
Yeah. Oof. Then we go to a hibachi place that I want to be at right now.
I love like all this setup and like that music too that they use to like, it's like kind of Asian inspired music to like set the scene. And I was like, where are they? And then
Mount Fuji.
Greg, Albie, and Chris like walking in, and Greg goes, it's like Jurassic Park, but Asian. And then it was just like a Benihana's. I was like,
it reminded
what is
me
this place? And it was like a hibachi restaurant.
It reminded me of, have you been to Yamashiro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a Yamashiro. Mm-hmm.
It's like my favorite. I love it. I love that it's like perched up on a hill near me and I can like see it sometimes. I love it.
Yeah.
And then they sit down and Lauren is wearing a hideous coat. And she says, I'm just going to say it. I definitely don't want to sit next to Ashley, and everyone LOLs.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Damn. That's ice cold.
So mean.
So mean.
I wrote Lauren's horror coat. A horror movie.
Everyone hates Ashley. Ashley's late to her own birthday. She has like her friend Nellie with her. I love like a friend of child.
Yeah, she's her two friends with her. They're getting ready in a room. They're all wearing so much makeup. And then Ashley drives in her car, and you just see her on the road, and she's like, "Yeah, it was my birthday gift."
She loves this new car. She's like so obsessed with it. And then her friend's like, well, you must be doing something right if you got like a car. It's like Ashley's not doing anything right.
But this is where Ashley really pissed me off. Because she's talking about how Chris, her stepdad, gave it to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, it's nice and all, but money can't buy you love. And I was like, fuck you. He is trying so hard with you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really stupid thing to say. Because Chris is, they might shove things in her, like they might not be doing the, but like he does love her.
Yeah.
And I think she trolls him with
what
that.
Be grateful for what you're getting.
Yeah.
But I understand, like it's like he does seem like a person that would be very difficult to connect with emotionally. Like what is there to talk about with a person like that? You're just like, you make like small talk and then like ask him about his interest. Like, it's like there's no connection point.
No, I totally agree. I think he's probably like, it's depressing, but I also think, I don't know. I felt like it was a way to dig at Jacqueline.
Yeah, definitely. And also, what's crazy is how expensive her car payment is.
Yeah, it's $500 a month.
That's insane. Crazy. That's like more than my car payment. And like, this was back in like 2009.
It's really wild.
That's like almost like $1,000 a month now these days for like a car payment, which is like fucking wild. Like, how are you going to pay that with your Lizzie Grubman internship?
I've never not been debited at Hibachi.
I love a Hibachi moment, like a really good Hibachi restaurant. You can't beat it.
No, I love Hibachi, but I've also been, I always feel a little, there's like a Polaroid photo of me from Benihana from seventh grade, mm-hmm. my birthday party. And I just remember how depressing it was.
You didn't love it. You know what I don't like is when you have to share a Hibachi table with people you don't know.
You're all like, ah,
I don't like that. I'd rather just sit, like, I'd rather it just be me and one other person that I know at the Hibachi with no strangers. I don't like a stranger element. Shane Hall's family tradition at Christmas is every Christmas Eve we go to Hibachi.
Really?
Yeah, because my brother used to work at a Hibachi restaurant in Oklahoma City, Shogun. And so we go to Shogun every year for Christmas Eve. The whole thing.
You and all your siblings? Together.
Me, all my siblings are in town. Mom, dad, stepmom, my stepbrother, if he's in town. We gather up. We go to Shogun. Jacqueline trolls Ashley in her toast.
Jacqueline's blackout.
She stands up and she goes, I'd love to give a toast when Ashley puts her phone down.
Ashley does not look up from her phone once.
No. I mean, Ashley is like ungrateful, Ashley.
She's on her BlackBerry, just BBMing away, and Jacqueline's like drinking a martini and is clearly sloshed.
Sloshed. And then Jacqueline's like, I hope you look around and see that everyone is here for you.
She's like, thanks everyone.
Thanks so much for coming.
She has like a baby girl voice.
Yeah. Like, no one really wants to be at this dinner. You know what I mean? No, Ashley doesn't want to be there. Caroline and her kids don't want to be there. Like, Jacqueline doesn't want to be there. Chris is pissed because he knows he's going to have to pay for the entire dinner, which is at least like a couple grand. So, like, no one's winning at this birthday dinner.
No. Ashley's friends are, like, probably feel uncomfortable.
They want to go out and get shit-faced.
Yeah, they're just waiting to go to, like,
a field.
New York City. Yeah. Or a field in Hoboken or, like, the Meadowlands. Secaucus.
But then we finally get out of this, like, horrible birthday dinner, and then it's just, like, back to Christmas in Jersey, and I wrote, Christmas in Jersey! I need to be there.
Christmas in Jersey.
And a human Melissa's ghoul named Fabulous Fred arrives at Joan Melissa's.
He looks like a sickly Marco Rubio.
He does. And Melissa goes, Fabulous Fred is incredibly fabulous. Yeah, I inferred that.
He starts talking to them. He's trying to like just get them to up their price, where at the end it comes up to a 50 grand is like the final tally. But at one point he goes, in terms of your cater waiters, he's like, you want roly-poly servers or models who know how to speak?
That was crazy. You want roly-poly servers with their gut hanging out? That costs one price. You want models who speak correctly? That's another price. What are you trying to say, sir?
Yeah, it was...
That was an uncomfortable reality.
Very, very dark. And
Melissa goes... She goes, you know, it's Jesus' birthday and I'm very close to God and I feel it. I feel the spirit of Christmas. Cool.
Melissa's like in one of those clay movies.
Mm-hmm. She is claymation.
She really is. They're raising, the party's apparently like a charity for St. Joseph's Hospital.
It's totally also not. Like, they keep being like, the whole ruse of the party is Joe Gorga being like, it's for the kids. 50 grand for the kids. It's for the kids. We have.
And he's
to
like,
do
they
it.
Gotta. He's like, you know, these kids gotta cut their hair because of cancer. It's like,
all right, Joe.
He makes the Fabulous Fred take a shot.
Yeah, he does like the husband, like the reluctant husband who's gonna have to cough up all the dough. Like, gotta take a shot to really warm me up for how much this party's
boy.
Gonna cost. But you know, it's for the kids. It's for the kids. So
it's for the kids. Then we cut over to the Wakilis. They're having like they're getting people to help them decorate. It's like full.
They're going full
Italian.
Winter Wonderland.
Ugh.
But their
Kathy?
Tree, they're erecting a literal tree to Paimon. This is the second time we've seen Paimon pop up in a Bravo
it's
show.
A fucking effigy. Kathy crowns the top of the tree with a Venetian mask of like a cat-like person that's very Eyes Wide Shut. It is like a Venetian jester with feathers coming out of it. It is terrifying.
There should be no tree topper that's like, what in the world? I was like, this is truly Gallery Girls level Paimon. That is truly, that is hereditary.
Rich comes in and he goes, how come that cat on top looks cross-eyed?
He goes, what's with Kathy the feathers?
Kathy goes, don't look at it for too long.
Yeah, a fucking, like, that's a warning. You cannot look at that for too long, lest you get possessed.
That's some Italian witchcraft.
That is full stregaria.
Yeah.
shot up in bed when I saw that tree topper.
It's
and I went, oh,
so
Mamma Mia.
So scary.
And, like,
I went, oh, bless
myself. Me. Oh, Mamma Mia.
Look at that.
Cose. That's what is
Cose.
It? Cose.
Don't look at it for too long.
Don't look at it for too long. There's
I love the
full
giant
blown,
bow in front of their house.
Like, shit going down in the Wakili household.
Yeah.
But the paranormal activity. Actividad o paranormale.
Stregaria.
Stregaria. Yeah, their Christmas decorations are really good. And then I also love, like, Rich trying to get involved with the decorating, and he, like, goes up to one of the decorators, and he's like, how much do you charge if the husband helps? And they were like, we charge more if the husband helps, like, trolling him.
Yeah. He's like, hey!
Hey, I love it.
Then we cut to Caroline and Albert are going to the jewelry. I don't even care about this part, this scene, but they go to the...
We need to just, like, really speak to the fact that Caroline wants to get some hideous bracelets mocked up so that she could buy them. They look at mock-ups of a hideous leather bracelet to represent their, like, family, and these bracelets cost $4,500.
A piece.
For
they're
what?
Like, Caroline goes to the jeweler. She goes, I'm one of 11. We love big. We fight big. And we make up big. I'm like, yes, we know.
We get
and
it.
She's like, you know, I see Lauren. She's drifting away from her brothers. I just want to, I want them to remember that at the end of the day, we only got each other. So they're going to do a bracelet with Lauren's the diamond in the middle, like a linked chain kind of thing. Albert, Albie and Christopher on either side of Lauren, and then Caroline and Albert Sr. are on
the edges.
You know, on the outside. And Caroline goes, yeah, the anchors. We're the anchors.
And it's like all these little rings with leather. I'm sorry, but like, I'm not going to pay $4,500 for leather to be involved in any piece of my jewelry. Like, that's not happening.
No, it's
you can't
also
put, like, a leather bracelet and make it $4,500. Like, no. And then Albert goes, I want one.
It's $22,500 for the five of them. Yeah.
Wow. And then Albert goes, I want one. And Caroline's like, oh, that's amazing. He never wears jewelry. And then he goes,
beautiful.
He represents my family. Of course I'll wear it. This bracelet is hideous. You could go to Cartier and get like a piece of jewelry that would be less than a $4,500 leather bracelet. It's just like such a, it's not like a timeless, like if you're going to spend that much money, I want like a timeless piece of jewelry that will go with anything.
It's not hideous,
like
a and
leather
like,
bracelet.
It's like brutal. It looks
brutal.
I want them all to remember that at the end of the day, it's all we got, family.
And then Albert is like, okay, we're going to get him. And then he goes, it's an expensive day. And the jewelry lady, she goes, it's a little expensive, but you can handle it. Which I was like, whoa, that's you're taking a lot of liberties there, jewelry lady.
Yeah.
And then Albert goes, there's a lot of more to tell.
What?
Which I came at the mention of more to tell.
That's a lot of more to tell.
That's a lot of more to tell.
Oh, Albert.
That's like $22,000 worth of mortadella. That is a lot of mortadella.
The night of the party, I wrote. Melissa goes, she goes, tonight's my night.
She's getting erotic.
She's getting her hair and makeup done. She's a gay guy named George Miguel. Who's doing her hair. And then Fabulous Fred comes upstairs and Joe Gorgat comes up and Fabulous Fred goes, we're 2 hours plus away from guests arriving. We've got Joe and Melissa ice sculptures outside. Joe and Melissa's faces on the currency at the fake casino downstairs. I was like, my God.
Wow.
And then Joe Gorgat comes up and he's like, I got a shower. He's like, do you guys mind if I'm naked in here? And Melissa's like, well, the girls will leave. She goes, but George Michael, he don't mind.
He'd probably like it. And then they do like this like passive aggressive flirtation with each other that's like borderline like erotic, erotic violence. Where he's like, you're gonna miss me when I'm dead. He's like, if you die, he's like, I go be on an island surrounded by women. And then she's like, if you do that, I'll cut your dick off. And he's like, he goes, you need a chainsaw to cut this off. And I was like, whoa.
He goes, you're going to Lorena Bobbitt me? The gay and the gay guy and the they're like, what the fuck?
They're like, God, how much more of this do we have to take?
And then we cut to the Judices. Teresa's getting her hair done, but she goes, Melissa stole my makeup girl, Maria Falchi.
Oh, I thought it was Evelyn.
Oh, Evelyn. Sorry. Maria Falchi is the one who's doing her makeup now.
Yeah. Melissa hired Evelyn away from Tree and Tree's pissed.
Yeah.
So there's already tension. Tension afoot. Tree, get over it. You should be doing your own makeup.
Yeah.
Why do people love like gambling at holiday parties? Why is that such a thing?
I wrote that. Like, I don't know. It's like Great Gatsby or Casino Night is always like a winter theme.
Casino Night is like, I truly don't understand it.
I wrote Casino Night parties are always hell.
Yeah. They are always hell.
Like, it's really weird.
If I wanted to gamble, I'd go to a casino, but I'm at a party. Like, I want food, wine, and dancing.
Also, it's weird, like, as we see later, the party, it seems like it's super packed, and there's, like, hundreds of people there. But then there are moments where it's, like, kind of quiet.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't get a read. I did notice that. I'm glad you're bringing it up because I was like, is it a packed party? Like, how many people are there? And then also it's like so overhead lighting. Like, it doesn't feel like it feels like a cocktail hour or something. Like, not like a real rager of a party.
No, it's like
the lighting is not good party lighting.
Because Teresa had a party last season and it was actually like,
it was a vibe. Packed. It was a fucking rager.
Because she had that crazy woman.
the party fucking planet. Insane party planner. But like, she did like mood lighting. Like, it felt like, ooh, a sexy party. This is like, everyone's making a big deal of like, there's no kids tonight. Like, we're going to get wild. But it's like the most tame and lame party.
It's really weird. And then we, Kathy and Richie show up. Kathy has a giant, like, bump it hair.
Yeah. Bump it hair like, was, like, sister, really happening.
She has, like, sister wife hair, but, like, in, like, a chrome metallic Gaga kind of dress.
Yeah. She's very Gaga and current. Like, she's now, like, Stupid Love Gaga.
She looks very Stupid Love Gaga, and she's Rich
ahead
come
of her
and
time.
And first the Manzos come in, and I wrote, "Why do they act like they're the fucking Kennedys?" Like, they walk in and they're just like just the way they greet everyone. It's like they're so annoying to me.
Like, smug.
Greg is, I mean, I love Greg. Greg can do no wrong for me, but like, they walk in and they're just like,
I love, they know. Go, how could it get any better than this? I was like, in a lot of ways it could. Like, I can tell you a lot of things that are better than Joe and Melissa's Christmas party.
Melissa sees all the people come and she goes, oh, I'm absolutely beside myself. And I was like, are you upset?
First of all, there's a satanic ice sculpture of Joe and Melissa that looks nothing like them.
It's so scary.
It's terrifying. And then there's casino tables everywhere. She goes, there's this gorgeous ice sculpture that looks like Joe and I. Casino tables everywhere. Money with Joe and my face on it. And in the library, no one's skimping out on the toys. And there are literally five presents in the library.
Yeah, it does not.
There's no like, toys.
It's no, like, your dad's Beanie Baby storage unit. It's like...
No. I love also being like, this is a party, like, for kids. Like, it's not, like, raising money. It's just asking people to bring toys, which is literally like, the lamest thing that you can do.
I know. The kids are going to get them and be like, thanks.
I'm sure they'll like a toy for a little bit, but it mostly is, like, I think money is probably what people need more of.
So the Wakilis come in, and Gorga pulls Rich aside, and he goes, Kathy's a slut tonight. And then Rich looks at him, and you can tell Rich is like, what? And he goes, damn, she looks really good. And he catcalls Kathy, and then Rich goes, that's your cousin.
Oh my God, yeah, it is his cousin.
That's his first, that's not just his, that's like his mom's brother's child.
Joey. Like,
they share 30% DNA.
Yeah, Joey Gorga's shit-faced at this point. He's slurring his words, and he goes, she's a slut tonight. I was like, excusez-moi? And then Kathy even goes like, Joe, stop. You can tell that she's uncomfortable. And then he just keeps going, and he says, she's going to get crazy later, huh? And then Rich is like, I'll literally kill you if you keep talking about her.
Like, Rich is just staring at, like, can you imagine if someone said your wife is a slut?
She's a slut tonight. Hmm? Also, saying that about like a relative,
and not like a very immediate relative, like first cousins. Like, I did my DNA when I did Ancestry.com. Like, I did it with my first. Like, I share so much DNA with my cousins.
Yeah, they're like, your cousins.
No, but I didn't realize, like, you don't realize how much, like, you actually are, like, it's crazy.
I love, she's a slut tonight. What? That's your cousin.
Speaking of cousins, so Teresa, Kathy's other cousin, tries to get Judice to go. He's not even ready. He's sitting in their TV room with his socks on, just, like, watching some like movie, and Teresa comes in all dolled up, and she's like, come on, we're gonna be late. And he's like, oh, Tree, I don't want to go, I'm fucking tired.
And she finally gets him to like get ready and go and like hustle him out the door. They're, you know, they're like 2 hours late at this point. And he's like, if anyone says something stupid to you, I'll show you what I'm going to do. And then he just like karate kicks a punching bag.
He roundhouse kicks a bag. Teresa's on the verge of tears. She's like, my life is hell.
Private hell.
I hate my husband. I hate my life. I only know pain and suffering.
He's such a shit talker too. He spends the entire like lead up to this party being like, this party's fucking stupid. I hate Joe Gorga. Like doing nothing but trash talking. Then does his roundhouse kick, which is truly like the only comedic relief anyone has in this situation. Is like, okay,
I'll show you what I'll do.
If anyone says something stupid to you, I'll show you what I'm going to do.
And then Melania goes, hey, good job, Pop.
Hey, Pops, just like I taught you.
He's like, don't worry, Pop, I'll be patrolling. You see Melania like on the ATV outside of the Gorga's house.
A rifle strapped to her back, ready to take
a cigar.
She says, I'll be there as backup. Hopefully you won't need me, but I'll be there.
I'm going, stopping by the Knights of Columbus at first, dropping off a few gifts, and then I'm making my way there. I'll meet you guys there.
I'll be out back. Don't worry about me. You won't see me, but you'll know I'm there. I'll send you a smoke signal. Melania's there with like night vision goggles spying on everyone, rifle cocked, ready to take a motherfucker out. Anyone says something stupid,
you won't see me.
She goes, anyone says something stupid,
you'll know I'm there.
I'll show you what I'm gonna do. And she takes a rifle out and shoots a pumpkin. She shoots a watermelon.
Gourd. I'll shoot. Melissa and Joe go out later and they see the heads on their ice sculptures are off.
The heads are blasted off. The ice sculptures have literally been like shot up and exploded. Money is like, hey.
Told you I'd be there. We cut up to Melissa's room. Her sister and Kathy are with her. And you can see Melissa's like, oh shit, you can see my G strength in my dress. And her sister keeps being like, don't wear any pants. You're off tonight.
You don't need underwear. It's a party. I didn't know that a party just meant that you... She goes, there are no kids around. Don't wear any. It's a party. Lisa is fucking wild. Lisa's out here getting punched in the head by Philomena.
And pressuring her little sister to wear nothing
to
under her...
full commando. She goes, you can give your husband a little early Christmas present. And you see Kathy, and Kathy's like visibly uncomfortable.
Kathy's like, what the fuck did we want? Did they all take like ecstasy?
Keelys are not ready for like the level of sexuality that the Gorgas are bringing to their Christmas party.
Did they take something?
Maybe they did, because this is like Lisa's obsession with Melissa, like not wearing underwear is like a lot for Kathy to handle.
I feel like this is my dark theory, but I almost felt like she was trying to sabotage Melissa a little.
Yeah, like set her up to be like, and now I'm not wearing underwear or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, I don't trust her, but
I don't trust her either. She's out here getting punched in the skull by Philomena.
I need to now go back and see if there's footage. I guess they would have shown it, but like, I want footage of Philomena just like socking it to Lisa at the christening.
She's like, punched
Bastarda!
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 Bastarda! Oh no!
Oh no, you don't!
Oh no!
I will punch you right in the face!
I will punch you in the head!
Philomena came to fucking play. She's rolling up her sleeves and is gonna sock it to you.
Melissa gets. She gets on the stairwell. There's like six people there.
Yeah, they made everyone like pack in close for Melissa's big speech.
And she's like, as everyone knows, we're very fortunate people.
She goes, we are very, very, very fortunate people. I was like, good God. Like, someone take the mic away from this woman. She is too far gone.
And then she's like, without further ado, we're going to have the head of the St. Joseph's Hospital And then he comes in and then like he says like two things and they cut away from him.
You hear everyone start to talk. They like don't give a shit. He's like, wow, thank you so much for all your help. Like the kids are going to love these gifts. There's literally like 10 presents that he's taking home with him. Teresa and Joe come in during the speech. They're like 3 hours late, as per usual.
Joe, Giudice walks straight in, doesn't look at anyone.
Yeah. Because Teresa's like, just don't look at anyone. Go straight to the back, straight to the back. And like beeline for like the dessert table, which same.
By the way, I love Melissa's porny brother-in-law.
You love drunk blackout Joey?
Yeah.
He scares me.
I know, but that's what I'm like afraid energy, of. Him.
You want it.
Yeah.
He does have a porn vibe. The way he like delivers his lines.
He's like,
he has wild eyes. He truly is like, he's a fucking you don't know where he's going to go.
Kathy goes to Rich, "I'm going to go over and say something to her." And Rich is like, "Don't. Like just don't even give her the time of day." He's like, "I'm not going to go say hi to her." And then Kathy goes over to Teresa.
She goes, "I'm a good person. So in the spirit of Christmas, I wanted to say hi." And then she goes to Teresa and she's like, "Hi, Teresa. Good to see you." And then Teresa's also just like, "What the? Get the fuck away from me." Teresa's her eyes like, are full. The Momo is ignited.
She's like, "Hi."
And she's like, "Hi."
She's like, "It's been a while." And Teresa's like, "Yeah."
I love Teresa's method is also just repeating
it has been a while.
Everything Kathy says back to her.
Yeah, and Kathy's like, "It really has." And then Melissa's like, "What are you trying to do?"
Yo, Kathy goes, "You know, it's good to see you." She goes, "Yeah, it is good to see me." And then Kathy's like, "No, it's good to see you." She goes, "Now it's good to see me." Like, fucking lights her up.
Kathy knows what to say to get her going.
Also, Kathy is such a shit stir. Like, you know that there's no way Teresa's gonna be like excited about like see, like you're coming up to her. You're also like, read the room. She and Joe came in late and hustled to the back. It's not like the right time.
Yeah, and also you can tell like a producer was like, you gotta bring something to the table, Kath.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? The restaurant was a flop. The restaurant storyline was a flop. How are you gonna make up for it? You gonna talk to her at the party or what?
And then Kathy gets like pissed and storms off. and she walks over, she like cuts through the cloud being like, "God, what a bitch. What a bitch." And she cuts over and you just see Rosie with a newsboy cap on. Like her eyes are shadows. You can't even see her eyes. And Rosie's like, "What's wrong?" And I wrote my queen. I love Rosie.
Rosie's amazing. She's like chugging a cocktail and she's like, "Her loss.
Don't even worry about it." And then Kathy goes into the bathroom and Rich follows her in there. And you just hear their combo and she goes, "Teresa's not even worth the scum off the bottom of my feet." I was like, oh.
Good then, God.
She goes,
"I said hi to her. Now here I am again looking like an asshole." And I love like Kathy knows that she gets set up to fail in any of these moments that she approaches Teresa, and she does look like an asshole because it's like there's no reasoning with a Giudice.
You can't. And Teresa, you just hear Richie going like, "Hey, listen to me. Listen." He goes, "I will burn this whole place down."
This is good husband hours. He goes, "Get out there and rip her a new asshole." And like, he's like down to clown with Kathy. And I think that that's what you need in a relationship. Like, when I get heated or like pissed about something, I don't want someone to be like, "It's okay, like calm down," or like try and talk sense into me. Like, I want someone that's going to be like, "Yeah, go out there and rip her a new asshole. Like, I'll burn this whole place down," and like meet me at that level. So then we can both get heated and then like cool down together and then decide like, okay, it's fine. Like, it's all good.
Like, yeah. He's like a partner in crime.
Yeah. And I wrote, that's amore, folks.
It is. I mean, he gets mad
on his wife's behalf and like threatens to like burn someone's house down. Like, I want, like, please, like, that is exactly what
I mean. I get it. Like, I
want in a couple.
I get it. Like, I have moments, like, when Simon tells me about something, like, that's happened, that's, like, where I perceive him, and I get, like, I get that New Jersey rage.
Love a Jersey rage.
No, I'm like, I get that. Like, I would, like, I'd burn a house down for Simon. I would.
Yeah. I think that that's like the bones of a great relationship. And you really need to ask yourself, like, would I fucking burn a house down for this person?
I would.
And if the answer is no, you're in the wrong relationship. Get the hell out.
Go. You got to be a little Rich Wakili in this moment.
Yeah. It's, you like, got to get a little crazy.
No, I love that.
I'll,
and then,
burn this place down. If you want, I'll burn this place down.
I'll burn this whole place down. Kathy goes to Teresa, you better wrap it. She goes, you better wrap a sweater around that icy heart of yours. You'll catch a cold. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, God. And then I wrote, wait,
this,
oh, go.
I wrote, wait, this party seems beat? ?
The only good thing about this party that I've seen so far is the dessert table.
Oh, yeah. No,
everything,
I mean,
everything else is like, I mean, for $50,000.
I was expecting there to be like 500 people there.
Yeah.
I mean, you could easily fit hundreds of people in that house.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge house. Tree is like unbothered by Kathy's like approach. And then Joe is like kind of getting fussy. And then Tree goes, don't get involved. Don't be like her husband. And then, like, gives Joe a squeeze and a kiss. And I was like, you actually, like, that's exactly the relationship you don't want. Like, I want, like, an involved partner who's going to burn a house down. Not, like, Joe, who is just going to, like, punch someone in the head. I mean, I guess, like, Joe would burn a house down, but it's not for Teresa. It's for himself.
No, it's...
it's his own anger.
And they... and it's not, it's very disingenuous. Like, when she's like, don't stoop to their level. It's like, you fucking already have.
Bitch, you're in the swamp. You're below sea level.
Judice also, when he started that brawl, you're right. It wasn't for Teresa. It was for his own anger, ego, jealousy.
If he really cared, he would not have brawled.
Yeah.
Then porn.
Also,
Joey.
I just wrote. I know. I just wrote. Joe and Teresa caused so many problems.
They are nothing but problems. And, like, honestly, I had to tip my hat to Melissa in this party because she really, like, handles them in stride. And it's like the second they show up, it's nothing but drama. And, like, at this point, like, if I was Melissa, I would have been so pissed about the way that they acted at this party.
But I really admired Melissa because as annoyed as she clearly is by them, she really is loyal to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see that she's actually a really good sister-in-law.
Yeah. And she's
like,
trying.
She's like, look, because like you were going to say, Joey, Porny Joe.
Well, Porny Joe comes up to Joe Judice and he goes, you got that money you owe me? $1,000 for when I fixed your air conditioner. And I was like, this air conditioner must be a euphemism for, like, something else.
For sure.
$1,000 for, like, when I fixed your air conditioner. But I think the way you know that it's, like, has to do with, like, a legal activity or something is that Joe's response to him was, sue me for it.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, well, he's like, you want to come over sometime and you can sue me for it.
Which is, like, a fuck you because it's, like, I think that it's from doing something illegal.
Sure.
And he knows that he can't sue, like, he can't legally get that money back because it was, like, illegal in the first place.
It also just shows you, I mean, from the way they were living, like, $1,000 would be nothing, but now it's like that's like unfathomable to pay someone that. So it's like, it just shows you what dire straits they're in.
Yeah. And also, like,
I mean, $1,000 is a lot of money, but it's, I'm just saying the way the Judices were living, like, they had unlimited amount of money.
Yeah. Joey.
So then Therese,
blackout
Melissa
Joey
goes up.
Scares the fuck out of me. He has a glint in his eye that it's like a true wild card.
What is, maybe it's like the recovering addict in me. I just like, there's like a darkness that you're just kind of like, hey.
Ooh, no, I understand the attraction. He just is like,
I feel like you would,
the wall. Like he's like, he truly is like, you don't know what he's going to do next. It's really unpredictable.
I know. I just feel like he would like fuck my skull.
Yeah. Oh, he for like, sure would. He would. He yeah. definitely would let you blow him. Absolutely. Yeah,
for sure.
You got that money you owe me? $1,000 for when I fixed your air conditioner?
Yes.
Yes, Dad. Yes. Yes, Daddy.
So then Melissa goes over to him and tempers him. She's like, well, not. She's like, not now. Are you? She's like, are you kidding me?
Because Tree goes up, Joe starts throwing a fit, and then Tree goes up to Melissa and is like, Joey said some shit to Joe. Like, you got to tell him it's not okay. Like, don't, like, basically is bossing Melissa around at her own party. The fucking yeah. nerve. And so then Melissa shuts him down, but then.
Kim, oh my God, G, just and Monica Chacone.
And Monica Chacone. I love Monica Chacone.
I know. I love her, like, kind of Danielle Staub season one hair.
I wish that this had been a backdoor pilot for a Monica Chacone show. Like if we had
just a North Jersey lawyer. Door.
Yeah, just a lawyer. Yeah. Like I'm dying to see more.
I wrote Kim G arrives in a chinchilla.
Kim G also it has Kim and then G in parentheses for her.
Kim also I know. Kim also has a new face.
Yeah. She has been
crazy,
nipped and tucked, a fresh yeah. procedure. She's literally mm-hmm. like just gotten the okay to go out in public.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's pulled and it gets pulled back and the cheeks are full.
I was just screaming. I just love what a troublemaker. Like just when you think it's like, fuck, this party sucks. Kim G walks in to shake things up.
Kim G walks in with a lawyer that's suing you. Like, if you ever think your life is going good, just wait for a second. Like, literally, you know that meme that's going around that's like me at like like
it's my like plans.
Thought it was good. My plans and then 2020.
Yeah.
That is yeah. literally Kim G and Monica Chacone coming in.
Oh my God. That's so true. And she brings Monica in and to Melissa. Melissa comes up to her. And she's like, say hi to Monica again. You met before, right?
Right? At the fashion show.
Teresa immediately sees Monica and she's like, what the fuck? And she goes up to Melissa and she's like, hey, she goes, make them leave. Make them leave. Make Monica Chacone leave. Like, she's just freaking out. And Joe Giudice is now, he's like, hey, Tree, leave her. He's like, just ignore her. Just ignore her.
Do not go up to Monica.
Don't go up to her. And she's, and you can see he's like pulling her.
Yeah. He's, cause Teresa's like, he's now worried because Teresa's ready to unleash. She's like, was just having a moment of respite in like the kitchen going, like bragging about Joe's shirt to anyone that would listen, going, don't you like his bling shirt? I love it.
Yeah.
And then just, lo and behold, Monica Chacone makes herself known.
Monica. It, she goes fully like she you can just see her. She's like and he's like, stay back.
She's the werewolf that everyone needs protection from.
She's the werewolf of Franklin Lakes. And then they bring Melissa. She's like, hi. She's like, can I have a word with you, Kim? And she brings Kim and Monica Chacone into their parlor. And she's
Caroline,
like,
Caroline, you see Caroline too being like, don't do it in public. Not in public. You do it privately.
No, I was like, Caroline, what? She's gonna take her up back. Shut the fuck up. This isn't your house.
Yeah. Stop bossing this lady around. You don't even know her.
Not in public. I'm like, what's she gonna take her up back and shoot her in the face? Like,
yeah. Also, you're filming a show. Dogs. It's all on a show, so it is public. Not in public.
Wait, there's a neck. The party continues next episode, and the Manzos go.
They go buck wild. It's real Manzo hours next episode.
But Melissa is like, I'm sorry. Like, to your friend, but like, you got to take her out. I love that she talks to her like she's a thing. You got to take her out. Monica Chacon goes, you don't understand. My life has been 3 years of this hell.
3 years of this hell with them. I loved you when she, it's first, it's just Kim G in there. And she goes, sorry, like, I'm so sorry, but she can't be here. Like, she's got to go. And Kim G goes, oh, I can't do that. And Kim G just continues to argue, like, is basically refusing to, like, tell Monica to leave or leave herself. Kim G is such a shit stirrer.
She goes, oh, I can't do that. And then Jacqueline comes in and she goes, come over here. And she takes Kim. Jacqueline's like the only one who can handle her.
She's the Kim G whisperer, but she doesn't even do a very good job of whispering to Kim G because Kim G can't be tamed.
Kim G goes, I never did anything to her and she knows it.
I love her accent is really like on fire.
Yeah. Jacqueline's like, why do you gotta come in here and make a trouble for all them? When they're just getting out of that. I never did anything to her and she knows it.
Okay, say hi to Monica. That's when Monica comes over. Okay.
Yeah.
Say hi to Monica.
Monica walks in with like a strappy dress and Monica's hot. She has like a great new haircut. She probably got like her hair done that day. She walks in with a
blowout makeup. She's hot snatched bod in this like gorgeous dress.
She walks in with a flute of champagne. She goes, hi.
Hi.
Fuck is she?
You don't understand. My life has been hell dealing with the two of them for the last 3 years.
The last 3 years of my life has been a screeching hell with all of them. With the two of them, at least. And then Melissa's like, I'm sorry. You can't stay here. She's my sister. My family. Like, you gotta. And then Joe Gorga comes in. He's like, hey, come on. You gotta go.
Yeah,
I'm a brother, and then Kim G goes, but you were just in a grudge with her yourself. Like she's trying to like,
like Kim, you when someone tells you to leave their house, you can't argue with that. It's not like you can be like, no, I'm staying. You have to go.
But also, he's like, that's my sister, and she's like, well, she's like trying to negotiate with him.
No, there's no negotiation room. I love Kim G. She's always wheeling and dealing.
And then Monica finally leaves and goes, to the North Jersey Country Club and like gets shit faced at the bar.
Yeah. I love that Kim G doesn't go with her. She brings her there and then sends her away on her own. And Monica like throwing her mink on and then sashaying out the door. I was just like, oh my God. Like I'm living and breathing for Monica Chacon.
Oh, that would have been great casting.
If we just followed her out. Like she should be on the show. I hope we see more of her and Teresa.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right. Melissa is very loyal. We do see her loyalty in this episode.
But Monica might be gone, but Kim G's there to stay. And we'll see more of that next week as the party continues.
Kim G is so wild.
I never did anything to her and she knows it.
She knows it. Oh, I can't do that.
Oh, I can't do that.
Kim.
No, I can't do that. It's like, oh.
It's not an option. It's not a choice.
Insane. Well.
The Jersey drama rages on.
And I'm so grateful for it.
I'm so grateful for these women. These women.
These women have been securing us a spot in our mental health. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for listening.
You can follow Carrie at eCario. Icaro.
You can follow Lars at LarsMarie.com.
And stay tuned. We're going to do more live shows on Zoom. We'll be going on like Instagram Live. And we're just trying to have fun and laugh while we still can.
Hang in there and have Kim G energy where you just hang in.
Yeah, where you refuse to be shut down by anything.
Especially COVID.
Yeah. If you want bonus episodes, ad-free content, and tons of like other premium content. You can go to patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast. And yeah, that's it.
Bye.